Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stoniker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stoniker.
Our message today is going to come from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, if you would like to turn there in your Bible. While you're turning, I'll tell you that the outline of the scripture, all of the Bible, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the outline that you will find everywhere you turn in the scripture, no matter where it is this. It's always the same. Mankind, which is all men, all women, all boys, all girls, mankind is completely sinful. Now, I know that we all wish that was not the case, but that is the case. Man has fallen into sin. Mankind is completely sinful. Not partly sinful. And this is why it's so important. Mankind is not partly sinful or mostly sinful. Totally sinful. Completely, completely eaten up with sin. Totally ruined. That's what mankind is. Now, somebody will hear that and say, I don't look ruined to me. Well, unfortunately, God says that we look ruined to Him. That's what God says about us. When He sees us, He sees absolute ruin. Ruin in sin. But the outline of Scripture goes on to say, it begins by saying all mankind is totally sinful. But then it goes on to say that God chose to save some of those ruined sinners. God, in His mind and heart, elected a people to bring out of ruin. To save. You know, people talk about, you know, we need to be saved, but they don't really understand what they need to be saved from. Why do we need to be saved? Because we're completely ruined. And we can't save ourselves. We need to be saved. And the Scripture goes on to tell us that God chose to bring some out of ruin and restore them back to the perfect state that He created them in. And the only way that was possible was through the death of God the Son. There was only one way to redeem ruined sinners, through the death of God the Son. You see, the law said, and God is holy, God is just, God can only do what's right. God can only do what's in agreement with the law. He's holy. He's just. The judge of the earth. He must do the law. And the law said, the wages of sin is death. If a soul sins, that soul must surely die. That's what the law said. So the only way these elected, ruined sinners could be redeemed was if the law was satisfied. The law had to be fulfilled. So God the Father made God the Son. He took God the Son and caused Him, made Him to be the deliverer of every ruined sinner that He chose to save. Every single one of them. And Christ did that by trading places with them. He came down so they might go up. That's what happened. He traded places with them. He did not just pay a debt for them that they could not pay. He became the debt. He fully traded places with them. He became what the Scripture calls the atonement. The bloody victim, the slain sacrifice for sin. And when he did that, those particularly redeemed from ruin people, every single one of them, became the righteousness of God. As soon as he laid down his life and became the atonement for sin, became what his people were, as soon as he took that upon himself and dealt with it, they became what he was, the righteousness of God. That entire transaction is called grace. That's what the transaction is called, grace. God's people were saved by grace. Salvation is not something they took part in. None of God's people took part in salvation. It's something that happened to them. Something that was freely bestowed on them. They were not even offered the opportunity to accept it or reject it. They were never given the choice to accept it or reject it. It was sovereignly bestowed, irresistibly given. In the same way that all of those people took no part in their first birth, you and I know good and well we had no say in the matter on whether or not we were going to be born into the world, or what parents we were going to be born to, or what year, month, day, and time we would be born in the world. We took no part in that. We were just born. Life was given. And for quite a while, we didn't even know about it. And one day down the road, we got old enough to start understanding, I'm alive. And it was told to us, this is how it happened. Something that happened in the past, and it's already done. You're alive. We're just notified of life. Well, that's the same thing that happens in the spiritual birth. God's people do not take part in the spiritual birth. They're dead. God gives life. And after a given amount of time, they're notified of it. This is what God's people are notified of. Okay, this is the notification of Scripture. It's done. The great transaction is done. You are your Lord's, and He is yours. That's the notification of Scripture. If God gave you to Christ, and if Christ traded places with you, it's done. It's done. And what God has done is forever. That's what the Scripture says. Whatever God does, it's forever. It cannot be undone. It cannot be changed. If Christ saved you on that cross, you're saved all the way to the end. You will persevere through Christ keeping you all the way to the end. His faithfulness will keep you. It will keep you. You will not be able to lose your salvation. People threaten and scare by telling the lie. Now, you better stop doing that. You'll lose your salvation. Not possible. You didn't earn it. You're not keeping it, and you can't lose it. If Christ did it, it's done. Kept by the power of God. You will not be able to ruin it. God gave life to Adam. God gave life to man, Adam and Eve, and they ruined it. And God has rebirthed, re-given life. And through the accomplishment of Christ, no sinner will be able to ruin it. You will not be able to reject it. When the message of life comes to you, you will not be able to reject it. If He saved you, you're saved. Now that's good news, isn't it? That is wonderful news. That is the gospel. That is the outline of every portion of Scripture in God's book. Every time, that's the outline. That is God's outline. One way of salvation. It's that way every time. I would like for us right now to see that outline in our text. Revelation 22. Look with me at the end of verse 17. It says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's God's outline. Everything we just mentioned, that's the message. That's the outline. Whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. All right, let's start with the word whosoever. Let's look at what is being said here. That word is in the Scripture, I believe, 183 times, if I counted it correctly in my concordance. 183 times. Everything that our God has said concerning whosoever will hold true. Everything He says, it'll hold true. When He says, whosoever does this, or whosoever does that, everything He has said in reference to whosoever will hold true. If He says it, it'll hold true. That right there will hold true. Whoever will take the water of life may take it freely. That'll hold true. Let me show you another one that will hold true. Look with me, if you would, at Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus 32, verse 33 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." God was not joking. God cannot lie. He cannot go back on His word. That is going to hold true. For all eternity, that is going to hold true. "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Now, have we sinned against Him? Have you and I sinned against Him? We better be honest with ourselves. We're going to have to be honest before God. Have you and I sinned against Him? Well, how technical is He about sin? What exactly does He consider to be sin? How far do we have to go before He considers it to be sin? Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew 5, our Lord said in verse 21, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." We know that. You're not supposed to kill anybody. We know that. But look at verse 22. "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that means vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Whoever gets angry. Have we ever gotten angry with a brother? Whoever gets angry. Look at verse 27. "You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." We know that. If we make a vow before God to stay with our wife or our husband, we know we're not supposed to break that. Look at verse 28. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Has that ever happened to any of us? Let's be honest. Look at verse 33. "Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself." That means promise. Don't make a promise. "But shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because you can't make one hair white or black." People say, "Well, I swear on my mama's grave." Well, what does that have to do with anything? Verse 37, "But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Have you ever said you were going to do something and then not done it? Have you ever had to go back on your word, whether you could help it or not? If so, God says that's sin. Anger is sin. Lust is sin, worthy of eternal death. Breaking a promise is sin. In James chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law." How many commandments are there in this law that God has given us? "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." That's James 2, verse 10. Whoever breaks one of them. Thousands in here, thousands. Whoever breaks one of them is guilty of all. All of us fall into the category of being ruined in sin. All of us. The Scripture says all have sinned. But our text said, "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So let's move on to that next word, will. Whosoever will. Turn over to John 5. John 5, whoever will. All right, this is what John 5, verse 40 says. "You will not. You will not come to me that you might have life." Verse 39, our Lord said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." He said, go ahead, search the Scriptures. The do's and the don'ts and the commandments of the law. Go ahead, try to fulfill the law. That's what he's saying. In doing that, you think you have eternal life. But he said, "They are they which testify of me. They're written to show you that you've never kept God's law. But Christ kept it perfectly. They all testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life." It's all pointing to me, but you will not come to me. It holds true that whosoever will, that's the declaration, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Here's the problem for natural man, us in our natural state, in the flesh. We won't. We won't. Not on God's terms. Man thinks he will. He believes in his heart that he is willing to take it on God's terms. He thinks he is willing to come. He thinks he is willing to take the water of life. But once he finds out that he must come and take that water on God's terms, he says, "No, I don't think so. That's not going to work for me. I don't want to come that way." What are God's terms? It told us in our text. But what are God's terms? Here they are. He does everything. We do nothing. He does all of the work. We do none of the work. When it comes to salvation, we do nothing. You know why man will not come? You know why he will not come? It's because no man can come. John 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come to me, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." What this means is, he gets all the credit. We get none of the credit. He gets all the glory. We get none of the glory. We remain dead in trespasses and sins until he sovereignly chooses to save us. The commandment is, come or you'll die in your sins. Come to me or you'll die in your sins. But we can't come unless the Father which sent Christ draws us. Christ has to raise us up. Our only hope is that the Father has given us to Christ his Son and that Christ will raise us up at the last day. That's our only hope. When it comes to salvation, these are God's terms. We have no say in the matter. None. Our salvation is totally in His hands. Totally by His doing. That's His terms. That's His terms. There's a song in one of the lines and it says, "In our hand no price we bring, simply to Thy cross we cling." That's it. We come on the grounds of being at His Have you ever been at somebody's mercy? You just stand there and just say, "I'm at your mercy. I'm just begging for mercy. I don't have any grounds to stand here. I don't have any merit. I don't have any. I'm just at your mercy. That's how we come to Christ. On the grounds of being totally at His mercy. On the grounds of His grace and not our works. Now with that in mind, let's go back to our text and see if we can enter in just a little more clearly to what it's saying. Revelation 22, the end of verse 17 says, "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." That's the condition. That's God's condition. Whoever takes the water of life has to take it freely. Has to. That is the only way it'll be given. That's the only way. In Hosea 14, verse 4, the Lord said, "I will love them freely. Without them earning my love." In Matthew 10, verse 8, the Lord said, "Freely you have received." Freely. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 3. In Romans 3, verse 19, it says, "We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." That's where we started. That's where the outline starts. Verse 20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." That's what we see when we look to the law. I can't keep it. Verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law," without earning that righteousness through the deeds of the law, "is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." It's all pointing to the only righteousness a sinner can ever have. Verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe," for there's no difference. Those who totally seek Christ to be their only hope, they're just coming to Him on the grounds of mercy and grace. Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely." Freely. What does all that mean? It means in our hand no price we bring. No payment we bring. No work. Nothing to earn. We just freely receive. Freely receive. Christ paid everything. We pay nothing. Verse 24, "Being justified freely by His grace," His gift, "through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus," that particular redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The problem for the flesh is he wants credit. That's the problem. He wants to share the glory. He wants a piece of the honor. But God says in verse 27, right here, Romans 3, verse 27, "Where is boasting then?" It's excluded. "By what law? Of works?" No, by the law of faith. Believing Christ accomplished it. "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Justification is not earned. It's only freely given. Only freely given. Look with me at Romans 8. It says in Romans 8, verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." He did all of that. He. That's the message of Scripture. Everything that he did. Verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things?" Here's what we say. God be for us, who can be against us? "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Freely. Freely. Christ was given to us freely. All of God's gifts are given freely. It's called grace. Grace. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." We've received the spirit that is of God. We have irresistibly received that irresistible grace from the irresistible Spirit of God. It goes on to say that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We have freely been notified of the things that God has freely given to us through the unimaginable payment of His Son. This free gift cost everything. It was an infinite cost. It cost the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cost Him everything so we could receive it freely. Now go with me to Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation 21, it says in verse 6, "He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." He said, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to give this fountain to my people freely. Their flesh doesn't want it freely, but I'm going to give it to them anyway. I'm Alpha and Omega. I started this. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to make them willing in the process, willing to receive it freely, freely." They're going to take all of their works and count them to be worthless. Everything they think makes a payment, they're going to count it all dumb. That's what the Apostle Paul said. They're all going to cry, "We are saved by God's free grace alone." Now, is that us? Are we willing to be saved by free grace alone? Absolutely. Are we willing to come on God's terms? Absolutely. If that's the case, look with me at Revelation 22, verse 17. It says, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come." The Spirit says, "Come," and the bride can't help it. The bride cries, "Come." "And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst," it doesn't say worthy, it says thirsty, "come. And whosoever will," whoever God has made willing, "let him take the water of life." I pray God has made us willing. Till next week, the Lord bless His Word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.